Welcome to the AgriCast, the official podcast of AgriGamer.com. This is episode 90, and I am Brian Bentley. With me, of course, is my partner in crime, or partner in Skyrim soon enough, Corey Dockendorf. And with us is our new favorite writer, Matthew Waite.
What's going on, man? Happy 90th episode.
Hey, we're getting old, man. Yeah. It's time for the AARP for podcasts.
That's right.
So how are you guys doing?
Not bad. Not too shabby.
Yo. Hell yeah.
So, I know I am preloaded now for the Skyrim.
Pretty well. And you... Just it's my internet work, you know? I think I'd be better.
All right. Poor Matt. I think he's on, like, this weird delay thing.
It's awesome.
It's going to be, like, three conversations later. Matt's going to be like, I definitely think...
Oh, I love this show. 90 episodes. You stay classy, AgriGamer.
That's right. God, kill me now.
Well, you know, if there's one thing you can say about this podcast, it's we bring the class.
Oh, I think we bring the surprises more than anything else. We like to keep everybody on their toes.
Pinkies out.
Oh, it's fantastic. He's just covering his bases. He's like, I don't know if the show's over now, but thanks.
That was amazing. Amazing.
Yes, best show ever.
I don't know, we've had some pretty spectacular shows, but this is, already we're off to a good start.
That's right. Well, we should have started with the heavy drinking.
Good times. Well, I was going to ask you, Brian, so you got it on Steam, right?
Yes, sir.
So you've already preloaded, you've done it, you're ready to go. So at midnight, you're just going to turn on and happen.
Well, and that's the thing is, they didn't... Nowhere on Steam does it actually say, like, at midnight it will release. It just says, when the game is released, it will show up.
See, and that's what I'm interested to see what's going to happen, honestly, because is it just going to launch, and then at midnight everybody and their mother's going to try and log in and take the Steam servers down?
I honestly think that they're purposefully letting people preload it so it doesn't cripple all the servers.
I hope not. Now, here, my experience, I'm actually going to go pick up my copy physically because GameStop's doing this awesome thing. They're opening their doors at 10:30, and they're letting everybody in and try the game and like get some hands-on and meet other fans, and then... We're just going to start hammering it out, and at midnight, they're just going to hand us our copies, and we're out. You know, go home, load it up with a DVD like the old school days, although I still need Steam, which I think is hilarious, and then good to go.
Nice. It reminds me of when one Christmas I got Master of Magic, and I just thought it was the greatest. I thought it was, like, the greatest thing that was happening. And then I opened up, and there was, like, 7 or 8 3.5-inch floppies, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to play this game for, like...
Ever.
Yeah, it was, like, it seriously was, like, as soon as it finally finished, like, I started at breakfast. By the time we were having Christmas dinner, it was finally finished installing, and I'm like, but I want to, you know, I want to play.
Yeah, I know the feeling. So, well, that's like any Final Fantasy game that comes out. When you open it up and you're like, oh, look, there's like 9 discs. And it happens. You know what happens every single time. Like, every time they release a Final Fantasy game, they're like, oh, by the way, good luck. Click, and you have like 9. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 9 discs. Does anybody know how many discs Skyrim is going to be?
I'm assuming that it's only one, you know, like...
A single DVD?
Yeah. Well, if it's not a single DVD, then it's like probably like 2 or 3 DVDs or one Blu-ray.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is if it's one Blu-ray, I think I could see they can put the... But it's Skyrim's such a large game. I like how this is how we're starting off is with Skyrim. We're like, by the way, this comes out like in a couple days, and this is all we're going to be doing for the weekend, and we'll be doing a Skycast when that comes up, right? Skycast.
Yes, that's what I'd like to do it. Yes, definitely going with Skycast rather than Rimcast, because that just seems like it would just encounter a lot of problems.
Yeah, that would be just bad on so many different levels, and that just makes us a target.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about it more when the game comes out, obviously, and hope we'll be able to go over a lot of the fine details of the wonderful world of Cyrodiil. Is that how it's pronounced?
Cyrodiil.
Cyrodiil, yeah.
Yes, Cyrodiil. I haven't, like, I was thinking about that right before I came into the room to actually do this podcast, that I was like, you know, we're talking about doing that Skycast on Friday, and I don't really have a format for it.
There shouldn't be a format, I think. We'll discuss it after this, but we'll get it going.
Right,
We'll set it
and
up.
And maybe we can, I was actually thinking about trying to find someone else that we might be playing.
We don't need anybody else. It's just you and me, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, no one wants to listen to us.
Yeah, they do.
I forget you actually have friends.
I do, and I make them. I actually lock them in a room and force them to listen to this podcast most of the time.
See, I would never do that. So if anyone actually wants to be my friend, I would not make you do that.
Yeah, see, and all that are my friend, be prepared. I will be sending this to you in your email and spamming the crap out of you.
Nice. Yeah, you're like a Facebook game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I do work for money, too. So, you know what?
Request.
If you want me to stop emailing you, just send me $20. And I will stop filling your mailbox with my crap.
All you have to do is send me $100, and I have this friend in Nigeria.
I won't even do that. I'll just post on your wall, like, every hour. That's it.
Sad.
Where were we going with this?
Well, I think what we were doing is we were stalling.
Yes.
In hopes that Matt would come back, because he got dropped.
Yeah,
so.
So. Sigh.
So, I say we continue.
Oh, great.
Unless you want to stop, we can.
Oh, no,
I mean,
I'm game. Let's do this thing.
7-minute podcast, you know.
I know, right?
People be like, that was actually kind of nice. It was short.
Well, we got to skip the care or don't care unless you just want to go back and forth with that.
I do have a couple of things that could be interesting.
Okay.
But I'll hold off some of them because I know a couple of these are. I was kind of thinking of Matt when I was writing them, so thinking of Matt's answer.
I'm sure
as opposed
you're
to actually me sitting there thinking of Matt
while you're writing. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, this is pretty much the Skycast. I just want you to be aware of that.
Right. And the worst part is I actually have stuff. Like, I actually have, a community spotlight. So I guess I'll just run through that.
That works.
Real quick. Right. So,
can we call David?
I don't think he's on.
I don't even think so. Quick. Where's Ben?
You go look, and I'll talk about community spotlight.
You talk about community spotlight.
Right. So, community for those who have missed or whatever, Community Spotlight is a chance for us to talk about and bring to light different social things or fundraisers or
gaming
people
community.
You know, yeah, gaming community. Friend of the show, Candace, she's the community manager over at PDP. She's awesome, and she runs a whole photography side for her as kind of like a hobby slash, you know, extra business going on, and it's called Ghoul Girls. They kind of do like horror, like pinup photography type stuff, and it's pretty awesome. And right now they're looking to do some crowdfunding for their, I think it's 2013 calendar. They're already looking ahead, so they need some help to get things like, you know, makeup and get actual equipment and, you know, to make it look as professional as they usually are. So go to Indiegogo.com. That's Indiegogo.com/ghoulgirls, Ghoul girls, all one word. And see if you can't throw a couple bucks their way, because it's creepy. But it's really well done, and they're really awesome, and Candace is awesome. So go and support them.
I agree. And, you know, and knowing Candace, also you can follow her on Twitter.
Yes.
And if you ask me what her Twitter
is. It's Candace PDP.
There you go, Candace. There you go. Done and done. That's what it is. Follow her on Twitter. She's usually got a lot of fun stuff to check out. A lot of cosplay stuff. She's also good with, you know, video game news. So.
Right. So definitely go out there, support her, and that is our community spotlight for this weekend. I actually have the at least one, if not two more, lined up. I've already kind of gotten in my head, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Nice.
So did you find out?
Yeah, he's not talking to me.
as usual.
I was like, hey, we're doing the podcast, and all of a sudden it went dark.
Nice. That is classy.
Yes, sir.
So there was one thing that I kind of noticed from some people in the last like couple of days is they're, you know, talking on Twitter or Facebook or G+ about, you know, like, oh, I got to play Skyrim already. And how do you feel about talking about when you receive a game ahead of, even if it's still in, even if it's not embargoed anymore, but still, you know, you got a game pre-release, you're reviewing it. What is your kind of your take on talking about it over the internet?
I have an issue with that. And you know what? And I'll tell you right now. Skyrim is in a lot of people's hands right now, and a lot of people are reviewing it, and I haven't read a single one of those reviews.
Well, technically, the actual embargo doesn't lift until tomorrow.
Well, nobody knows that because that's technically nobody knows what date this is actually being released, so we're good.
Right. Well, you know what I mean.
In the time-space continuum, we're good.
Day prior, you know, the embargo was up until the day prior to release.
Right. And the problem is that, you know, you have these people talking about it and mentioning it and what they can say and cannot say via embargo, which is fine, but I don't want to know. You know, I want to experience the game for myself. I want to get my hands on myself. And I feel that you have a lot of these individuals that have this title that are trying to sway people to their side, and they really tell you not what their thoughts are, but what they want people to hear. So when I found that when I read that information, I get that information, I'm just like, eh. So I've tried to shy away from that. Jeff Cannata from Weekend Confirmed, he's a great example. Whenever a movie comes out, he doesn't watch the trailers because right. He likes to see the movie and experience it without any, like, perception or like a perceiving.
Yeah, he doesn't want, yeah.
What the game is what the movie's going to be like. So it's kind of the same thing with video games. I don't like to read these. I don't like to read these reviews and then play the game because I feel it's going to skew what I'm thinking. I'm going to go like, oh yeah, I noticed that hiccup because so-and-so mentioned it on whatever the website was. And that bothers the crap out of me. So I hate it. I'm like, you know what, just wait until it's out. Wait until people have it in their hands and then say something. Honestly. Or the day of, right at the day of. That's cool. That's fine. But like prior or like a week before, don't do that. I just feel that it ruins the game.
Yeah. Well, and I was actually taking it from, it seems that this game, more than any other, has people going like, almost, not exactly rubbing it in, but I even felt that from a couple of people, it was like, haha, I got to play this game,
you know,
and you all have to wait.
And it's because it's one of those, it's a popular game. It's just like Modern Warfare 3. It's just like any these, with the fall coming, you have all these great grade A titles that everybody can't wait to get their hands on. You have the same thing with Diablo 3. You have people that are like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm totally playing with this, and it's amazing. And you're like, haha, so what? You know, same thing with Sweater. Star Wars The Old Republic. It's, you know, great game. People have been able to get into the beta. We've got another beta weekend coming up. Some of us finally got into the beta. That's awesome. But you already have this whole I got in versus I didn't get in mentality. And it's just, it's like they're rubbing it in your face. They're like, haha, I'm playing this and it's awesome. and you can't wait to play it either, but I'm playing it, so ha. You know.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. It's very just harsh.
So, it looks like we may have Matt back.
Yeah, indeed. Good.
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you.
Woo!
Welcome back.
Wait.
Like, clear nice. Day, dude. What is up?
I know, right? Like, apparently my old bedroom is a dead zone. I don't know. So I just came back downstairs.
For,
and
for your sex life. What?
It's because he's podcasting from the bathroom now. So he's,
yeah.
he's sitting on the toilet, just kicking it with a laptop.
For the Beatles.
But be happy that this is not a video podcast. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So, Matt,
yeah.
Brian brought up a very good question. We were discussing about websites and people talking about games before their release. Like, Skyrim's getting a lot of press beforehand about people that are getting hands-on and kind of gloating about it. Same thing with Modern Warfare 3 and some other titles that are coming out this fall. You know, big-name titles. So what do you think about that? You know, like, being a WoW fan and a Blizzard fan, like Diablo 3, everybody's talking about Diablo 3, be like, oh, I got hands-on, I got to play, I got to do this, haha, you suck because you didn't. What do you think about that?
Personally, I can't stand gloating, whatever it is. That really gets on my nerve. But if it's like a preview from, like, I don't know, Game Informer or one of us doing it for AgroGamer as like a preview or a hands-on, I'm perfectly okay with that. But these people saying, haha, I got it in the beta and you didn't because you suck. Murr. Like, oh, it's just frustrating for me.
Yeah. And there's no constructive criticism there. So you have these people that, and I think that, Brian, this is my biggest deal with it, is you have these people that are gloating that they got into said beta, or they have a early copy, or they're doing an early review, but the problem is they have nothing to say about it. Like,
right.
They're just like, oh, it's great. Okay, well, what's great about it? Oh, it's the best game ever. Okay, why? You know, there's no opinion behind it. They're just,
right.
I have it and you don't.
Yep, exactly.
And I wouldn't mind, like, I would love, with all the Skyrim's, we're going to use Skyrim because Skyrim is this week, but Skyrim's been doing all these developer diaries, and I've been, you know, following them left and right because they're like, here's how the sound works, and here's how the graphics are done, and the animations, and this and that, and you see this whole back end of it. I would love for somebody to give me a technical aspect of what they think of Skyrim if they've had a hands-on with it already. You know, what do they think about it? What do they think about the sound? What do they think about the graphics? That's cool. I'll read that. But I don't want to read about, haha, I got it, you didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Well, I actually did see someone today, like, that posted, like, you know, I can't post an actual, like, my actual review can't come out until tomorrow because of the embargo.
Right.
But, you know, he had genuine excitement, was like, I love this game. Actually, I think he said something like, it's the best game of this console generation, which I think is quite a big thing to say,
that's
but, you know,
yeah.
He at least had genuine enthusiasm, you know, for it, as opposed to being a, you know, like, rubbing it in people's faces.
A forum troll.
yeah. So at least that I can appreciate.
Fair enough.
But the worst thing, I should have had this up already, but let me see if I can find it real quick. So our good friend, Justin here, and friend of the show, also known as Pseudo on Twitter, why does he, man, he tweets a lot.
Yeah, he's a talkative guy, just saying.
Yeah. He actually said something really great, and I really wish I had it in front of me now. Yeah, nice, right?
Yeah. Way to go.
Yeah.
Good job. That's called prep work, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about it, and then we started talking about it, and then, well, shit. Yeah. Anyway, let's keep going, and if I find it, I'll bring it back up. But I'll,
all right, let's go. Let's move on. We got Matt. We got all talking. Right. We got topics. We got community spotlight. I'm ready to roll. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, we did get... We did get that community spotlight done, so I said we just jump right into, or I guess we didn't really do what you've been playing.
Oh,
okay. I haven't really been playing much because I've been waiting for Skyrim, and I've just been busy. Matt, what have you been playing real quick?
I just got Batman Arkham Asylum, the first one. Been playing that. It's amazing. Battlefield 3. World of Warcraft, of course.
Yeah, I love that.
All right. Quick, make it, Corey.
You know, I actually have not played any World of Warcraft. I've had a very busy schedule, so I haven't really had any time to sink into World of Warcraft recently. So I've had to come up with some alternate, smaller games to partake in. I just got my hands on Braid. Have you guys played Braid yet?
No. I own it, but I've never played it.
I own it, too. And I finally sat down and said, you know what? I'm going to play this game. And I've spent a couple hours racking my brain on it. It's probably one of... I will probably say it's the best puzzle game I've ever played. Ever.
Wow.
It's beautifully rendered. It's... The graphics are gorgeous. The soundtrack is amazing. The actual levels are challenging. Like, I really spent, like, you know, 15 minutes staring at a screen, probably in, like, the third level going, what do I do here? You know, like, I really had to put some thought into it. And I'd love games like that. Any game that gives me that much, like, I have to actually sit down and think about, I'm all for. So, Braid, if you haven't picked it up, it's a great game. It's on Steam. It's on, like, every platform really possible. But it's just a lot of fun. Great time waster. It's light enough that you can play it randomly, but it's deep enough to give you, you know, that satisfaction that when you're done, you're done. I also downloaded on my Windows phone. Sorry, not my iPhone, not my Android device. My Windows phone 7.5. That just happened.
What?
Just
on purpose?
On purpose. It happened. It's cool. Well, of course it's on purpose. I got to sync it up with my Xbox. I got the,
Oh, there you go. I just puked all over my microphone.
Wait a second. You're a fanboy of Xbox. Why are you hating on Xbox?
I don't even own an Xbox.
No. You did own an Xbox. It was removed from your home.
That's true.
I downloaded Fusion Sentient, which is a... I'm going to say it's an RTS-style... Smash TV type game?
What?
Yeah, alright, so you basically... The best way to explain Fusion Sentient, and I've just been killing hours on it, you get these mechs, and you can upgrade your mechs, and you can level up your mechs, and you basically go into a level that consists of three phases. The first phase is you have to find a base. After you find the base, you have to protect the base. After you protect the base, you then have to go out and expand your base. And it's all done on a mobile phone. It's beautifully rendered. It is a shit ton of fun. And it's one of those things, it's probably one of the better, you know, mobile phone games I've played in a while. And it's interesting to have an RTS that I have, you know, take these units, go over there, defend my base, make sure that I have the healing unit, make sure that I have a DPS unit, make sure that there's a tank unit, you know, and then upgrading them and leveling them up, and then just sending them out into the field to go destroy my enemy. It's single player, but it's tons of fun. It's you and bots, and it's a great time waster. It's really a lot of fun. I recommend. I actually bought it. It's only $2.99 on the marketplace on Xbox Live, and it's a mass ton of fun. It really is.
So do you go, like, from room to room and continue to do these three steps?
Yeah. Okay, so you go into, like, a big room, and then you have to solve the room. So in the first phase, you have to find, you know, you have to find the location of the base so that you can take it over. So when you get there, there's, like, an ass ton of enemies, and you got to kill them all. Well, and then you got to kill enemies on your way there. And then when you get there, you then have to stay there for a certain amount of time, and then you take over the base. Then it says you've completed phase one. You can then upgrade your units, edit your units, do whatever you have to do with them, and then you send them out for phase two. Phase two, then, you have to protect yourself, and you have to either grab the artifacts of the enemy or kill all the enemies on the screen. One of those objectives have to happen. How you do it, they don't care, but that has to happen. And then objective three is you have to go out and you have to find their base, and then you have to collect all their artifacts, and that's it, and you're done. And it's very simplistic. It's very well done. The tutorial takes less than 15 minutes to learn it. And it's very responsive on the touchscreen, gorgeously done. It's a really good game, and you know, just it's fun. And for $2.99, I feel like I get my money's worth.
Oh, all right.
Didn't expect that many review, did you? What up now?
I should have stopped you.
You should.
What?
You say something?
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. And people just turn off the podcast.
Dude, believe me, they turned it off much sooner.
They were like,
that.
Skyrim, what?
What is this game you speak of?
Right?
Then, really, the only game I've been playing is, I got it for like $2 during the Steam Halloween sale, but Cthulhu Saves the World.
The best 8-bit game in the world.
Yeah, it is both hilarious and fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know what to say. First of all, the writing is exceptionally clever. Just ridiculously clever, and I mean the graphics are well, the graphics are the graphics. They're 8-bit graphics, it really makes you feel like you're playing Final Fantasy 1 again. Or you know, Dragon, the original Dragon Warrior.
Do I
have both of those?
Matt's a collector.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it is an amazing game. Although, I'm actually at a point where I keep going to the boss and he keeps kicking my ass. So, I have to figure out what I'm going to do about that. So that's really all I've been playing in waiting for the S word. And
for the S word. You make it sound like it's an HBO special.
You know, it kind of is. So, just so you know, I found what I was looking for. From Justin. So he said, this is from the 8th. I can't, like, in quotes, like, I can't wait to tell you about this game I've been playing. Good reviewer. Haha, I get to play this game before all of you, douche.
Exactly.
That pretty much sums up exactly how I feel about that, about the whole situation.
That's pretty much it.
So, all right. Next. Okay. That moves us into Care Don't Care, where we have eight topics, and we start with one and move to the other person, bouncing back and forth, and get your thoughts in a very quick, format. So we will start with Matt.
Yay.
You are our first person for number one. Care or don't care, random encounters in RPGs.
Don't care for them. Completely hate them. They are the bane of my existence. That's all I have to say.
Wow. Why are you mad, bro?
All right, Corey, it's over to you.
I like them. I like to be surprised. I do care. I like to just be roaming around. It's Skyrim. The S word. Okay, the S word. I like to be able to just run around and be like, oh, by the way, there's a pack of wolves coming to own my face. Yes! I enjoy turn-based games where I'm walking around and I just want to walk. You know, you walk 2 feet, killed a bunch of wolves. Level up. Keep going. You know, I love that. It's just, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. I didn't like it as much until, honestly, with Cthulhu Saves the World. In each dungeon, there is a maximum number of encounters you can have. It's like, okay, 25. Once you get to 25, they stop attacking you. Because, like, there are plenty of times where, you know.
Help me out here.
Well, I'm trying to think of exactly, like, where you just want to get to that next thing, and it's like 2 steps, and you get attacked.
Exactly.
And I go, okay. And then 2 more steps, you get attacked. You're like, okay, I just want to get to the end of the room.
Yeah, it can be frustrating at times.
Yeah, but and that's one thing I really liked about the game is that it had, for each dungeon, there is a maximum number of encounters, and then it just stops. Because it knows, I'm like, honestly, if you're in a dungeon and you get attacked 25 times, like, believe me, you've gotten your fill. They've you know, they've attacked you enough.
They've got theirs.
Yeah. So... Yeah. So now I'm if more people employed that, I would feel much, much better about it. Number two, start with Corey. Care or don't care about zombies being in everything?
Oh, I care. I care. And this is why. Because it drives me nuts. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal about zombies and why they're popular, and because when things in the go into a recession and things suck, everybody, you know, goes to like necrotic and, you know, darker places, and zombies are the new hotness right now. Remember when zombies were scary? There was a time when zombies were like, you know, Resident Evil style scary. Now I'm just like, really? There's one in this game. Oh, Black Ops has a zombie level. Yay. You know, it sucks. It sucks that every single game has to capitalize on the same hot topic. And it drives me nuts to any game that comes out that says it has a zombie level, I refuse to download it. Because I'm going, it's the same game that everybody, and we'll talk about this later in tonight's podcast, but every game is starting to use the same mechanics and throw them at you because they think that's what you want. When in actuality, I firmly believe that everybody wants something new, something fresh, and something different. And when you start throwing the same thing at me, I'm not going to download it or participate in it because I just played it last week on whatever the last release was. So, yeah, it drives me nuts. Stop putting zombies in my game. Stop it. What, next week we're going to do vampires? I swear to God, if I walk into World of Warcraft and something sparkles at me and says that it's a Twilight reference, I'm done.
That's what the Worgen are for.
Good call, Matt. Good call.
So, Matt, it's over to you, zombies.
Wolfpack?
Yo.
I guess I'm 50-50 on it, you know? Games like Resident Evil and, I'm going to go old school on this one, like Zombies Ate My Neighbors. Games that are specifically zombie-based, I am perfectly okay with it, man.
Plants vs. Zombies?
Yes, Plants vs. Zombies is a good one. But games that just, oh, hey, we got zombies in it, and it's just like one level or like one little thing. It's like, oh, come on, dude. You're just milking the cow. Just stop.
Yeah, that's exactly it. What do you think, Brian? I mean, are you happy that there are so many zombies around the world right now that they're everywhere?
I think they have a time and a place. I honestly believe I guess I'm kind of 50-50 along with Matt on this. Like, I like zombies. I think it's awesome. I mean, The Walking Dead is a great show.
Yeah.
I haven't really gotten to watch, you know, this new season. We haven't recorded on the DVR, but it is kind of getting that feeling that, okay, they're just going back to the well on this one.
Yeah.
You know,
they've overstayed their welcome.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, Left 4 Dead was great. I thought it was a great take on it. So either people need to start taking a new take on the whole idea of, you know, like zombies, or maybe we just need to let it die for a little bit, and then we can bring it back.
Oh, let it die. Well played, Brian. Well, here's my thing. Why zombies and not vampires? Did vampires have their thing back in the 90s with Interview with a Vampire, but it wanted to be a vampire? Vampire 2000, or Dracula 2000, and all that stuff, you know? Was that vampires then, and now it's zombies?
Well, you know, I mean, I think they each have their own little...
niche?
Yeah, right now. I think zombies are just kind of the fun, popular thing, and vampires are a little more tweeny, you know...
Twilight.
Twilight, Vampire Diaries type thing.
So you could say we're in the middle of a zombie mediocalypse?
That
just happened.
You're just trying to...
Come on! Mediocalypse? That's the word of the week, mediocalypse.
Yeah, I think you've been holding on to that for a while.
Maybe. I might have.
Yeah, I'm saying. Let's continue on. It is over to Matt. Care or don't care that Mark Burnett signed on to produce the Video Game Awards, the VGAs?
Don't care. I don't know who that guy is. I really don't pay attention to VGAs because, I don't know, it's not into that stuff. I play games that I like, not what other people like.
Yeah.
Hey, Corey, it's over to you.
So, I don't think that an Emmy-winning producer is going to make the VGAs any classier. That's my opinion. It's not going to happen. It's like saying Michael Bay needs to direct Titanic. You know? It's like, really? You're just going to blow stuff up? It's going to be the same movie, but you're just going to blow more stuff up. So you have Mark Burnett coming in here because they need, like, a bigger name involved to kind of get, to make them more, what do I want to say, media-oriented. So they're trying to make it bigger than it really is. Spike TV is really behind it. It's really great, but it's not opinionated from the gamer. It's from a media perspective. So yeah, it's fun to watch. You have hot chicks, you have video games, and you have Spike TV, where they think they can get away with whatever they want. And it's just, it's not classy. It's not, we're not there yet. And just bringing Mark Burnett on, I don't think is going to add anything extra to the VGAs whatsoever. So I don't really care, because it's still going to be the VGAs. It's still going to be hosted by Spike TV. It's still going to be stupid, ridiculous stunts, ridiculous game characters. We're going to see Uncharted 3. We're going to see Skyrim. We're going to see all these other games. And they're just going to announce the awards to really no avail. You just got a VGA award. Yay. Whatever. Nobody cares. I mean, really, can somebody name me the video game award winner from last year?
Nope.
Anybody at all?
For video game of the year?
Yeah, for 2010.
I thought wasn't it Uncharted?
Was it? But you can't ask me a question when I ask you a question. That's not how this works. I can't be like, hey, so do you know who the VGA was? VGA of the Year award was last year? I don't know. Was it Uncharted? I don't know. Was it?
Well, I don't know. I just, you know, thought I would.
But that's the thing, is that nobody remembers, like, last year. And until we get to that point that people are watching the VGAs and saying, hey, by the way, 4 years ago, when this game won an award, awesome. But until then, I don't think that bringing Mark Burnett on is going to add any depth to the VGAs. We're not there yet. It's coming, but it's not there yet.
Oh, it was Red Dead Redemption.
I love how you had to Google that to tell me what it was. Really?
Come on, it was Wikipedia. I didn't.
It's Wikipedia. I blame Wikipedia. Wikipedia. I had nothing to do with it.
Yep.
That's the thing.
Just saying.
Is it, so you're saying, hey, Mark Burnett is on it. Anybody on this podcast, if you're listening to this, please post in the comment one thing Mark Burnett produced. One thing. That's all I want.
Survivor.
Okay, come on, Brian. We're trying not to let people cheat. Really? That's cool. We're going to have a list of comments of everybody putting Survivor. If you are listening to this podcast, put Survivor in the comments. That's all I want to see. That's it. Done.
Swan, you just want to see whether or not we have three or four people listening.
I am keeping tally. So, I just want to see three or four. We've always talked about three or four. Four are there, I want to see all four. That's it.
Yeah. All right.
I will IP track you.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm hopeful that he can at least bring some stability to the fiasco that is the VGAs. Watching the VGAs actually makes me embarrassed to call myself a gamer.
Yes.
You know, I'm just like, there is so much more to gaming than, you know, this goofy-ass shit that is totally pointless.
Dude, it's fucking Celebrity Apprentice. You know, it's not meant... I think what the whole point of bringing Mark Burnett on is that they want to bring rating. Not even ratings. They just want to bring viewer base. That's it. They just want to be this popular show. And that sucks. Because gaming has never been popular until within the past, I don't know, decade. Within the past 5-10 years, gaming has really taken off, and we've seen it really take a high point, and people are trying to capitalize on that now. And it's starting to suck, because it's really making it no longer a gamer's field. It's becoming a media Sprooge, if you will. And I'm just like, meh, whatever. I don't need to watch the VGAs.
I do, and I, you know, usually force myself through it because it's really, really...
Oh, you do.
But it's still horrible.
It is. It's bad.
It's still painful to watch.
It's bad.
Anyway, we're keep moving on. Corey, you're up.
Yep.
Care or don't care about the game Insanity from Guillermo del Toro?
Ooh. I'm sorry. What? Insanity? Why have I not heard... Brian, I'm behind. What?
Okay. So, basically, there were a couple of times where Del Toro came out, and like the VGAs actually were one of them, where he just came out and like talked about his passion for, you know.
I've heard it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And the name of the game is called Insanity.
It is. It's Insane. Is what the
name
of the
Insane?
Game is. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My bad.
That's, okay. So, I'm like, Insanity. What? And it's coming out to, I think it's coming to Xbox 360, right? Come on, man. You cannot do the question.
No, it's all, it's 360 PS3.
Okay, so, yes, please. Care. Have you seen anything he's ever done in his entire career? Because all those movies he's ever done is some creepy shit. And if this game is anything like Pan's Labyrinth, I'm done. I'll buy it, and I will sit in a dark room and scare the crap out of myself. Honestly.
Take my wallet.
Take my wallet, honestly. But we have another, I think we have another year, 2 years until it comes out.
Yeah, it's not coming out until 2013.
Which is fine. Which is fine by me. But my thing is that I want it to be a new survival horror. You know, I want it to be...
genre bending?
Yes, I want a new... Deep down, I want a new Resident Evil. I want dogs jumping out of windows. I want zombies falling out of closets in, you know, dead silence. I want scary crap. I don't want the Grudge game.
Yeah,
I want something awesomely scary that me and my buddies are going to sit in the dark room, drink a shit ton of beer, play the game, and when shit gets real, we're going to throw controllers and run out of the room. I want that to happen. I haven't had that happen since Resident Evil 1. So if Del Toro is going to do that, and I haven't watched any videos on it, I haven't watched too much about it. So
They haven't basically shown shit.
There's a little bit about it. You know, it's a little teaser, but it's one of those things that if Del Toro... He's as scary as he is with his movies, and he's not necessarily scary, he's creepy. But if he's that type of creepy in a video game, like Matt said, here's my wallet. I'll buy it right now. Give me a survival horror that I can scare the crap out. It's the Halloween game. What are we doing? We're all playing Insane, man. Really? Oh, yeah, everybody come over. We'll just drink some beer. And just throw the controller up in the air and run out like little girls. I want that.
Okay, so just for the record, Corey, you want to get a bunch of guys drunk into a dark room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I'm secure in my sexuality. It's cool, dude. You know.
I guess.
It's cool.
Right.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with drinking in the dark. It's cool. Hands, you know, hand check. Everybody, throw your hands up.
How would you see them? You're in the dark.
It's a hand check. If a hand is on your hip, and I say a hand check, obviously there is an issue.
All right, Matt, it's over to you.
I definitely care. I look up to Guillermo del Toro as, you know, an aspiring movie director and stuff. He's my icon, my idol. He's just the coolest guy ever. And the fact that he's given it his all to a video game is just the cream of the crop. You know, cherry on top, icing on the cake. This is going to be one scary-ass game. I mean, I haven't been really scared out of my mind since the original Dead Space. I can only play that thing for like 30 minutes, but pretty sure Guillermo's gonna knock it right out of the park.
And it's THQ, mind you. Also, just for the record, I'd like to point out that Matt just said that he's the cream of the crop. Just for clear. So, and with a cherry on top. So...
Don't try to change the subject off of
I'm
you and your
saying.
Desire to have guys in a room drunk.
In the dark. Dark.
Naked.
Don't forget. Why has it got to be all that?
Doesn't it, though? All right, Matt, we're back to you. Kara, don't care about celebrity voices in games.
I care. I think it's really cool. You know, especially in the Batman games, you have Mark Hamill playing the Joker. I mean, no hate to Heath Ledger or anything, but the only Joker in my mind is always going to be Mark Hamill. That
I'm
guy.
I said that because I thought you were going to say Jack Nicholson, and I was going to have to hang up.
But you know, John Goodman in Rage, I thought that was great. I'm all for it. You know, it definitely brings a nice higher level of quality to the voice acting. Definitely.
All right, Corey, it's over to you.
I love it. There is nothing better than having an awesome, you know, character actor or famous actor in a video game. The S word has a grip of a lot of drama actors. Joan Allen, who is just from Game of Thrones. Yes! And she's going to be in the game. Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman. Yeah! Chris Plummer. Yes! It's stuff like that that when you're playing, if you don't know about it in the beginning of the game, you're playing a game, you hear that token voice, and you're like, oh, that's so-and-so. And you're like, yes, that's amazing. And then they're that character, and you're that much more involved, and you build a personality. So I'm all for it, dude. Bring on character actors. I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I think it brings a next step of depth to games these days. So I love it. I do care. Bring it on. The more famous, the better. But I swear to God, no Kim Kardashian. Don't put Kim Kardashian in the game. Just don't.
Yeah, I don't care.
You know why? Because she'll come on and nobody will know who she is. They'll be like, that's who? What?
Well, yeah, you know, I actually heard a thing where people were starting to measure their marriages in Kardashians.
You can now.
So,
actually, I think there's a meter for it.
Since we're actually coming up on 1 year this Saturday,
congrats,
it's five Kardashians.
Dude, that's congratulations! You've made it a year.
Oh, well, thanks.
The first year is the hardest, so.
Yeah, it's had its moments, but
you're still together, and that's all that matters.
That's right. That's all that matters. Yeah, honestly, I don't really care about celebrity voices necessarily. I mean, I think it's cool if they're actually there to like put in an effort into actually being a voice and being that character. You know, like Halo Reach had a bunch of people in it, and I was like, you know, these people just wanted to have their voice in Halo. Like, that's it. Like, there's no real reason for them to actually be voices in this game.
This is the same guy that's buying Skyrim with Christopher Plummer, right?
I'm not buying Skyrim for Christopher Plummer, you know. I'm buying Skyrim because it's going to be freaking awesome.
But you're going to tell me, so you're honestly going to tell me that playing the game and getting up to Christopher Plummer's character, the old guy in the robe, there's what, 70 actors out of like 110 different dungeons, or 110 different talking NPCs, 70 different actors, and like half of them are famous, doesn't alter the game for you whatsoever?
I'm not saying that I'm not going to care about it. I'm just saying that it doesn't. It's not like right. I'm like, oh my god, all these actors are in this game. I have to buy this game.
Right.
This is
care. Don't care.
All right. I'm just saying I don't care.
All right.
If there's celebrity voices in it or not.
All right. Fine.
Whatever. All right. So Corey, over to you.
Okay.
Care or don't care about Firefox 8.
Just do 7. I don't care. I have gone through so many iterations of Mozilla Firefox that just keep them coming. You know, I'm going to download it. I'm going to upgrade it. I'm going to see what extra plugins I can do, and hopefully everybody's upgraded to 8 on the plugin side so I'm not, like, limited. And, yay, I'll have the new version ASAP. So, I don't care. We're on 8, really? IE is on 9. Google's on what? Google Chrome's on version 1?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah.
I'm actually surprised Chrome's still not in beta.
Are you kidding? Google's still in beta. And if you're missing it, you can go to your settings and turn it on. So.
Nice. Matt, it's over to you. Firefox 8, care or don't care?
Don't care. I use Chrome. That's simple.
Amen, brother.
All right.
Amen.
I like the idea that they are trying to, you know, cover up some holes, but it has seemed a little strange that we've jumped from Firefox like 4 to 8 in the matter of like a year and a half. So
yeah.
I have to say that does kind of concern me.
Does it make you think that every time they run a patch, they just call it a new version? They're like, "Oh, we got a new patch coming up. It's Firefox 6." Really? Yeah. Sure. 6.
You can make that joke, but I mean...
I'm just saying.
I'm actually doing it, but...
I'm just saying.
It does tend to look like that.
It's a little shifty, but it's all right.
All right. Number 7. Over to you, Matthew.
Matthew. Awesome.
Sorry, Matt. It
doesn't matter.
Overkill. Yeah.
Whatever. Shut up. Care or don't care about political commercials?
Like political commercials that tell you like, "Oh, vote yes for option 2 or something like that.
Yes. Yes.
Don't care. I have my opinions on the U.S. politics. They're strong, and I really think it's a waste of money to say that, you know, to make a commercial and say, "Oh, everyone pick yes on option 3. And it's like, no, just no.
Corey, over to you.
What? Politics? I don't understand what that means. What? There's, like, people in charge? Really?
Well, I wouldn't say they're in charge. They just get elected to office.
Oh, that's cool. Can I get elected to office? Is that cool?
I actually wrote myself in for council.
Did
for
you?
City council. Yeah.
Did you win?
No.
Oh, dude. Come on, man. I think you need to talk to your lobbyist. So.
Yeah, myself.
What was the question?
Political commercials.
You know what?
Especially this election time.
I gotta look at that crap on people's lawns. I don't care. I gotta look at it on lawns. I gotta look at the grocery store. I gotta look on the back of people's vehicles. Do you really need to interrupt my TV time? Honestly? Because media's not gonna make me vote for you any better. I promise. It's not. At no point is it going to change what I think about you. So.
Yes. Yeah, I'm much the same way. I don't really care about it. It just made me laugh because I was like, you're sitting there watching them and you're just like, two commercials about the same topic, and they both said almost the exact same thing, or they said the exact opposite thing. I'm like, it can't be both.
Yeah, you are or you aren't. End of story. And just because you came in the middle of my commercial, because you're between my Modern Warfare 3 commercial and my Quaker oatmeal commercial, doesn't mean I'm going to pick you.
side note, I saw the commercial for Saints Row, the third.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what's going on in this commercial. There's just people shooting around people who are standing there, and there was someone on a computer, and then there was shooting. I watched the whole commercial and went, I don't really know what's going on.
So you've played Saints Row before? Well, we're good.
No.
We're fine. I'm just kidding.
Oh. I'm like, no, I've never played the game. But that's not the point. I mean, like, it was just like, I watched this whole commercial. I have no idea what this commercial is about.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, last one. Corey, where it is
no,
you.
No, it's Matt. I just did the last one.
No, Matt, we just did Matt.
Damn it. Okay, fine.
Disappointing endings.
Hold on. You can't do that. This is not fair at all. Disappointing endings in media or disappointing endings in, like, games?
In games.
So
you get to the end of a game and you're like, oh.
We're going
to
do this? All right, Super Mario Brothers 1. Super Mario Brothers numero uno, my friend. Disappointing games. I care. Because there is nothing worse in this world to spend hours of your life destroying whatever monsters, creatures, enemies of your life that you hate, whether they're Goombas, zombies, goblins, worgen, whatever. And then realize that at the end of the game that, you know, the ending's kind of crappy. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And Super Mario Brothers, the first Nintendo game out there, which was, yeah, is probably the worst of all of them. So, it is, because you spend hours being told that the princess is in another castle, you defeat Koopa, and then the princess is in that castle, and nothing happens. There's no end.
Spoilers!
I'm sorry, I hate to break it all to everybody, but the princess is in the last castle. World 8-8, it's horrible. And you get there, and...
8-4?
Is it 8-4?
Yeah.
8-4. So it's 8-4. So you get 8-4, you beat the game, you see Princess Toadstool, and you're like, yay! She's like, awesome, I'm so glad you hopped on Koopa! And you're like, yeah, it was kind of gay, but we're still there! And it's over! And it ends!
But you could play it all over again.
Why? Because all you're gonna do is find the fucking princess that does nothing for you. All you had to do is hop on Koopa's head and call it a day. Or jump underneath him and do what you gotta do, son! It's horrible. Worst ending to any game ever. Right there. Super Mario Brothers 1. And I care because it sucks. Hours of my life I will never get back. My childhood is lost to Nintendo. Thank you.
All right, Matt, who's still in his childhood? Disappointing endings.
I hate disappointing endings. And Corey, I'm gonna one-up you on this one. For the worst ending ever.
I did. I just hit the box, the little question mark box, and it said one up right now, Matt.
Oh, jeez. It is Ghosts and Goblins. You get all the way to the very end.
Wow.
You beat the final boss. Oh, guess what? It's a trick. You got to start the whole game all over again.
Yeah.
Kill me now. I really can't stand bad endings. Especially cliffhanger endings in newer games, like, for instance, Crysis 2, you know, I love that game, and then the ending's just like, oh, guess what, more stuff's happening, like, oh, come on, really?
Catch us next time for Crysis 3.
Right?
I know, it's like,
coming out in 2013.
What was it?
Q1, 2013, go.
Soul Reaver. Soul Reaver was horrible about that. There's like three of them out there. Legacy of Kain. Every time I beat a Legacy of Kain, it didn't end. It always ended on a cliffhanger. And, there's nothing more frustrating than to be at the end of something and they're like, oh, by the way, you were sucked into a time portal and you are going to find out what's going to happen in the next game we release. And you're like, oh, great. I'll wait 2 years.
Disaster.
Stupid. Sad. That makes me a sad panda. That's ridiculous.
I'm definitely with you guys on this. Just from the standpoint, I kind of threw it in there just to kind of get your riled meters up as we are about to segue into our main topic. But there really is nothing worse than when you're watching the credits and you're like, you know, the credits are actually better than the epilogue.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like you owe it, like you're owed. Like if you put the time into the game, you know, unless it's like King Kong or something, you know, it's owed it to you to like give you some closure and make you feel like you've done more than gotten a stupid trophy or an achievement. You know?
I agree.
That is not why I'm playing. I'm playing to finish the story, to see what happens. You know, unless the game is specifically has nothing to do with anything, you know. There are those games, and that's fine. But, you know.
I agree.
You're like, I don't give a crap about the why.
I agree.
So, all right, that is Care Don't Care. I have to start rationing us on the time for that, because that segment always seems to get out of control.
I think people should comment below. Should we have a Care or Don't Care podcast? Just like have this like questions, just knock it out left and right, and just talk about it. Just be like, you know what? Let's hash this out right now. Let's make this happen.
That'd be epic.
I don't want to lose my segment though.
It's cool. You have a pretty awesome segment. That's what she said.
That doesn't even make sense. All right, on to, and speaking of not making sense, on to our main topic, which is about series games. Games in series and sequels. And when is it getting to the point where companies are just starting to rehash the same old thing over and over again for nothing more than to continue to make a buck? I think it, you know, it really, really puts things into perspective when you really start to look at the fall lineup and you're saying to yourself, I have absolutely, well, that's awesome. Thank you. When you're really looking at it, you're like, okay, well, where is the fall new IP? Like, where is it? You know, like, what are we actually, where are we actually, like, finding something new? And I have nothing wrong with, you know, watching or, you know, having Modern Warfare 3 come out. You know, I'm sure it, you know, it's an excellent game for those that want to play that. Skyrim is obviously, even though it is part of a series, I mean, it's kind of its own thing. And I'm really looking forward to next week playing Assassin's Creed Revelations, you know, if I ever get another Xbox, playing that. But when you really stop to think, where are the new intellectual properties? And even Nick Suttner brought it up on his Twitter today about there's just nothing new out there. It's just the same things over and over again. You know, read Gears of War 3, Modern Warfare 3, Elder Scrolls 5. So I guess we're just kind of looking to where you guys kind of think about that. And Corb, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Okay. So if we're going to talk about a rehashing of games, in probably the past 10, 15 years, we've pretty much rehashed everything we could possibly rehash. Hell, Duke Nukem got another game that sucked, but it came back, you know, almost 20 years later. Deus Ex, another example.
XCOM.
But here's my problem, is that you have those games, which are legacy games, we'll call them. Legacy games. Games that came out when gaming was not the big mammoth that it is today. And then you have games today that probably within the year 2000 and higher came out and then were just one right after the other, and every year they kind of release. Modern Warfare is an example. Grand Theft Auto is an example. Hell, even MMOs these days are an example. You have a franchise that expects to put out some sort of product every year, and it's starting to become frustrating. And I kind of mentioned about this topic with Brian about this because it bothered me. GTA 5, the trailer released, and I watched the trailer. And as I was watching the trailer, and I listened to the storyline, and I listened to everybody talking, I looked at it and went, so it's Grand Theft Auto 4, but in Hollywood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was it. I mean, there was nothing new, and I understand it's a teaser. I understand they're not trying to give anything. They're trying to be like, hey, you know, this is awesome. We have this new engine that we're running. We're doing this. See how smooth everything is. That's cool. But there was no gameplay. There was no, hey, check this out because we have this new feature. And I think that's what's happening nowadays. A lot of people want to see a new feature. They want to see what is the next thing they're going to get in the game. And that's what separates a sequel or a trilogy or what is the fifth? Quintet? A quintet of a game is the next feature. So Uncharted is a perfect example. You have three Uncharted games. Uncharted 1 came out. I played it. It was amazing. Uncharted 2 came out and said, hey, we have Uncharted 2 and we have multiplayer. Uncharted 3 takes the best of 1 and 2 and gives you the cinematic experience, gives you this awesome multiplayer, and says, bam, here's part 3. Done. I don't think they should make another Uncharted game. They're going to want to make one because it makes money, but they shouldn't, because they should end it right where they're at, call it a day, he's the next Indiana Jones, done. Modern Warfare. There's so many Modern Warfares out right now, it makes my eyes bleed. You've got Call of Duty, you've got Modern Warfare 1 through 4, you've got, I'm sorry, Modern Warfare 1 through 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Call of Duty Spec Ops, Call of Duty, yeah,
Black Ops.
COD 1 through 4, Modern Warfare 2 and Modern Warfare 3, Black Ops. There's so many. You lose kind of the storyline. You don't exactly know what you're playing, and it's frustrating. You also have...
at this point, is there even a storyline?
No.
Nukes. It all involves nukes and Russians. Every month.
What is it? What is the video? Noobs versus Veterans? I think is what it is. Yeah, that David just posted.
Yeah, I actually like that.
That was classic.
I can appreciate that Sam Worthington was in that.
That's where we're at with video games right now. I mean, you're basically having whatever works, and this goes back to your zombie comment earlier, is that you have whatever works. They start putting it in everything, and they start feeding it to you, and you go, oh, this is the same thing I did. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. Oh, let me have fun with it in the game that I'm currently playing. And that's it. It sucks. I want a game that I've never seen before. I want a game that I've never experienced before. I want a game that I played 15 years ago that is being rehashed. Great idea. Tribes Ascend. I just got into the beta for Tribes Ascend. That's amazing, because I played Tribes years ago and had a great time with it. I played Tribes 1, I played Tribes 2, which was not all that great. I played Tribes 3, which really tried harder, but it wasn't even any better. And then they released Tribes Ascend, and I played Tribes Ascend. I was like, oh, this is like playing Tribes 1, and, you know, it's familiar to me. But new graphics engine, new physics engine, it's new, but it retains a lot of its nostalgia. And I'm afraid Dragon Age is doing the same thing. Dragon Age is 1, 2, and 3. 3 is coming out next year. And you have Dragon Age, which is kind of wearing on its nostalgia, with Dragon Age Legends on Facebook, Dragon Age 1 and 2, all this DLC. It's kind of like, oh yeah, another Dragon Age game is coming out. Unless there's new features involved, I really just don't care. I really don't care at all. And I just sit back and wait and go, well, what's great about this version that I didn't play in the last one? And don't give me minor changes. Give me something existential that I can see, touch, play, whatever, and then move on. I want to be able to say these awesome new features were added in part 3 rather than it's just a continuation of a storyline. Hmm. Booyah.
Like, that's it. I'm out.
I'm out.
Peace. Drops. All right, Matt.
To be honest, I like, you know, my franchises, but I think every franchise should just end on 3. Trilogy, you know, it's the magic number, 3. You got your cross-game story arc going, and that's cool and all. But after 3, start a new franchise, do something else. Because, you know, we're getting, like, let's say, Guitar Hero. That's a perfect example of just, first one was good, second one was better, third one was awesome. And then they just flooded the market. Just because it sells, you know. Hey, look, we got Guitar Hero this, Guitar Hero that. Guitar Hero with spaghetti, you know. And it's... Yeah, I know. And it's just...
That idea is brilliant!
It is!
Where's Activision? Buying that one?
And it's just... The problem is money. And, you know, money's the root of all evil. But, that's what it is. I guess it's because, oh, it sells. Well, we should make more of it. And there isn't ever going to be it's not going to sell. Because there's always going to be these fanboys and people who are just, I don't care, I want it because it has the name. And
well, okay. I'm going to interrupt you just because didn't Tony Hawk Ride like only sell like 3,000 copies or something like that? Or whatever the last Tony Hawk game was?
Yeah, I was getting to that.
Oh, okay, sorry. Sorry.
Activision is like the prime bad guy in this. I mean, they flooded the market with Guitar Hero, then Tony Hawk, and now it's Call of Duty having one out every year. And it seems like from Modern Warfare 2 to Modern Warfare 3 that the only improvement is, or the only new thing is this Spec Ops and survival modes. And it, yep. To be honest, to me, that's not worth $60, maybe $20. But, you know, unless, if you plan on making a new installment to a big franchise every year, I expect that new installment to be mind-blowing, better than the first, always trying to one-up yourself. If not, then, you know, it's just going to roll down and die out, like Guitar Hero and Tony Hawk.
We can even take it one step further and go Halo, for that matter.
Ah, good example.
Halo is a perfect example. You had Halo 1 to 3, which we all, I mean, the first one was great, multiplayer got better, the second one, third one we had a great time, and then you have Halo Reach, Halo ODST, Halo this, Halo that. It becomes, it becomes a name. It's no longer a game anymore. It's not something that you find entertaining. It's now something that's out there to make money and not capture the audience's attention, which completely blows, in my opinion. I think it just sucks. I really wish that there were... What happened when you made a quality game? Skyrim. Brian, perfect example. And we will say the S word right now, because I'm... It's going to happen. When was the last time you played Elder Scrolls?
I've been playing it on and off the last, I don't know, couple of months.
And
I've been playing
Oblivion. It came out when? Oh, wait, you're playing Oblivion, right?
Yeah.
So, Elder Scrolls...
I never played the first one or the first three.
That's fine. That's fine. Elder Scrolls Oblivion came out in...
Well, it's like 10 years ago.
Dude, yeah. Right? It's 2006 on Xbox 360. And, yeah, with Microsoft. Back in 2006. Okay, so we're 5 years later, and now we have a new engine. That was also used for Fallout, so obviously technology has advanced, so you're basically upgrading the game. It's a more expansive world, it's more options, there's so much involved within that 5 years that you're like, yes, I don't want a game every year. If I wanted a game every year, oh wait, I do, and I play an MMO, and they give me a new game every year, so, okay, I'm done.
And I think that's an important piece, and it's possible that the Call of Duty franchise is moving towards a more subscription-based model with Elite, you know, if anyone could actually get it to work.
Yay!
but I think the one genre that really suffers in this area the most is sports.
Oh, yeah.
They need to... The entire, and I'm not just talking about EA, I'm talking about the entire sports genre of games needs to find a different mode of delivery. You know, the problem is there's always been one way of doing it, basically. You know,
Madden.
Make the game, put it on a cartridge or a disc, put it out for whatever the amount is, and then next year you do it again. You know, and where these sports games really suffer is the fact that they're always trying to improve, which is good, but they suffer from compromise, because you can only put in so much into a one-year cycle, and you know they don't have a full year.
Yep.
Of development. You know, they may have 6 to 8 months of new development time, and because they're redoing the engine, they're redoing the graphics, they're redoing the art for, you know, new stadiums and, you know, player models and all these things, and
stat upgrades.
Right. And then, on top of that, they have a regression. They have regression testing that they need to do, because deep down, like, they still need to go through and make sure all the pieces that are still been, you know, and don't tell me that there aren't parts of that code that are still sitting there from, you know, 6-7 years ago.
FIFA 2003.
You know, because there's a function that works and they haven't touched it, something they tweaked, and, you know, so these things, all these other things have to be regression tested. So you're talking about making that 6 to 8 month window even smaller. So they're a victim of the fact that there is no other type of delivery or publishing, you know, way to publish. So if anybody really needs it, it's the sports genre.
I agree.
You know, and I don't know if there's like a, you know, they need to move to like need to look at an MMO format, because I don't tell me that these people who play Madden. Don't tell me they won't pay, you know, they're already paying $60 a year. Don't tell me they won't pay $10 a month.
Okay, now here, okay, so we're going to go, we're going to go subscription-based on this point. So, if EA, with their Origin service, which they just launched, said, hey, Corey, we're doing a new Madden game. Madden 2012, oh yeah, and have a Vikings coach or somebody on there. I don't know. We'll have somebody crazy on there that we can get injured in the next year. You basically, you know, the curse is going to happen. Whoever I'm going to name is going to happen. So I don't want to say anybody in particular.
Let's say Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I wanted this year. I wanted Al Davis to be on the cover, and we all saw what happened there. So
yeah, nice job.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad about that. That's kind of my fault. That's all right. I wrote a letter at EA and apologized.
you said, my bad.
That was not my fault. But no, if Madden said a subscription and said, hey, you know what, and don't tell me that some kid can't make $10 a month. Do not tell me that, because you can mow somebody's lawn for $10 a month. So, there's a family that lives down the street from me, and their son is a big football fan. He plays Madden. He plays every version. He plays $60 every year for whatever the Madden is. And he's 13. Come on now. And he pays every year. And there's a problem. They go to update the stats, and the stats are incorrect. So he goes in there and manually edits the stats every month to accommodate what's happening in football. That's awesome. How come Madden can't do that? How come Madden can't do that accurately? If Madden set up a subscription service for every $10 a month and update the stats of every player, they'd have a whole franchise on their hands. But they don't, right?
Well, and I think part of that has to do with the fact that there's no delivery system for that.
Origin is a perfect example of that. Origin is a perfect example of what they can do for a delivery system.
Right, but the problem is that's only going to really work on PS3.
Yeah.
There's too many hoops that they're going to have to jump through on the 360 side.
Agreed, but you know what? They need to figure that out if they want to be a market player.
Right.
Right?
But, I mean, and think about it. Instead of being $60 a year, it's going to be $120 a year.
Exactly. You've doubled your money in a year just because you went on multi-platform.
Yeah. Now, granted, we're talking about, you know, there's, like, a lot of business decisions here with this. Because there's going to be so many people who aren't going to buy it.
Blah, 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 blah. Next year, when the subscription-based service for Madden comes out, someone be like, oh, by the way, I heard that on AgroGamer.
Yeah, that's right. And if you're one of those three people, don't you dare steal this from us.
But that's my thing, is that you have a service. You have an MMO service. And it's not just World of Warcraft, because I play it. But you have Rift. You have, hell, you have Star Wars Galaxies. You have EverQuest. You have all...
That.
There are people that play it. Shit's okay. They're fans. They're waiting for Sweater. It's cool.
Sweater. That's it. It's being called Sweater from now on.
It has to be Sweater, because that's what I asked for Christmas, was a sweater. So, S-W-T-O-R, Sweater. But that's my thing, is that if you have...
Seriously,
you have these MMO companies that are providing a content to you every year. There's either an upgrade, a patch, an update, a change, something on a regular basis that you are paying for. Why can't other games do that with DLC? But then you have these games that are like, okay, well, we'll hold off on our DLC, we'll throw it all into a pile, and then send it out with an upgraded graphics update within a couple years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, and call it a day. That's awesome. But you also have to consider the flip side, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here, because I do that. You have these
all by yourself most of the time, yeah.
Most of the time. You have these companies, they're smaller. They do not have the manpower. They do not have the resources. And they can only produce a game every 5 years. They can only produce a game every 7 years. So, without breaking their bottom line, they plan within a 5-year plan and say, this is what we're going to do in 5 years. We're going to release this next game, Skyrim, and say, everything we've done up until this point, we're going to take and we're going to implement in the new system and call it a day. But then you have these other companies like Modern Warfare and Call of Duty and everything else that takes forever takes a shorter amount of time because they're like, well, we have the same assets. Just throw them out there and make them zombies and add JFK and you got a day, you know?
Just add JFK.
Just add JFK / JFK. Done. It happens. So that becomes a problem because you have these games that's the same game every year. Stop doing that. Take the 5 years. Take the 5 years. Take the graphics update. Take the update technologically wise and make a better game. Don't give me the same game I played last year. If you give me the same game I played last year, I'm not going to buy it. I'll just wait and be like, well, I'll just play with my friends that are playing Modern Warfare 3. Bleh. I'm not in a rush. I want quality. And that's what I'm doing. So.
Yes, give me quality over quantity.
Exactly.
Always.
You don't have to put something out every freaking year. You can put something out every 5 years, and I'm okay as long as it's something good. If it's not good, you will die. If you are good, amen. I'll buy your game.
So, Matt, even though you've already mentioned your love for your NES and stuff, you know, I'm not trying to harp on the fact that you're a lot younger than I am, but
he's trying to point out that you may have a tramp stamp similar to Quiglin. So,
oh, see, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm asking is you've grown up more in this age of more sequels, like. Does this seem normal to you, or does this seem, you know, like, I'm trying to think of how am I trying to put this, but like, you know, does a lot of sequels and a lot of same games in these series, is this something that you're accustomed to, or is that something like, you know, you would rather see, you know, more IPs, like, does that make sense?
I would love to see new IPs. I am always a fan of doing something new. Whether or not it works out perfectly, hey man, credit for you for doing something new. I grew up with, on the N64 and the Super Nintendo and stuff, and it felt, even then, back then, you know, it was always this, oh, it's a big game, it's new IP, made tons of money, let's make 50 more of them. And it's like, not so much. I don't know. Just, I want to put BioShock under the bus for this one. I mean, look at Irrational Games. They made BioShock 1, and then 2K Games made BioShock 2. And obviously BioShock 2 wasn't as good. And now Irrational Games is coming back to BioShock, but it's all new. It's not even under the ocean anymore, you know? It's up in the sky.
Oh my god, dude. It is ridiculously awesome.
I know, and just, that's the kind of stuff I want to see in franchises, you know? We did this thing. Alright, now let's go do this. I'm all for that.
That was, sorry. I'm just, BioShock Infinite, my god.
Yes, big time.
That blew my friggin' mind. at E3. That was ridiculous.
It was. And, you know, to all the developers out there, screw what the publishers say, man. Take your time on it. You can't rush creativity. You just can't.
No, you rush creativity and you get a Facebook game that's broken 96% of the time.
That's for sure.
And that's definitely for another episode, but how throwaway like Facebook games and some mobile games are. It just makes me sad, you know. They're just throwing stuff out just to make some money on it, and then they don't even care. But that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. Like Independence Day too. Yeah.
So other than, you know, the indie development community, I mean, where are the new IPs? I mean, even new IPs like Alan Wake, you know, it's just...
You want to answer that question? I'll answer that question right now. Steam.
Yeah, right.
Steam. You want the new indies? You want games that you've never played before? Do you want games that you've never even experienced before? Hell, Gamersgate. You have a lot of these Origin, Gamersgate, Steam, these high-res, these downloadable games that you can actually participate in and play for a cheap amount of money, but you have to find them. They're not...
Right. And I understand the indie community, and that's great, but I meant, like, you know, how come... Publishers, I mean, obviously, besides the fact it's about money, you know, there has to be some publisher that's going to be willing to take a chance on something new.
Agreed. And they do. They do. But they really have to weigh what they're going to do. I mean, you can't just pick up any title and say, this is what I'm going to do. It's going to be the next indie title. And then it bombs. Right? So, on a business standpoint, you have to look at it and go, well, will this work or will this not work? Will it work on an indie standpoint or will it work on a gigantic release standpoint type deal? So, it's really a crapshoot on the business side. I miss the days of, like, and I will go back to it, Super Mario Brothers, okay? Super Mario Brothers was released... back in 1985, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, 85,
yes.
Okay. So Super Mario Brothers 1 was released in 1985. Super Mario Brothers was released in what time? Not Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh.
Quick, Google it.
I think it was 88 or 89.
Okay, so you have a game that came out in 88, okay? There is three games within a three-year time span. They release one every year, 8-bit, but every single Super Mario was different. Part 2 was not even close to Part 1. Part 3...
That's because it wasn't technically a Super Mario game when they made it.
Part 3 had fucking raccoons. Right?
That was awesome stuff.
It was. Flutes and shit? It was awesome. But every game, there is not a single person that will tell you Super Mario 1 to Super Mario 3, not a single one of those games were the same. Correct?
Correct.
So, where is that? Where is the game that I can say, this game is nothing like the last one I played? That's
exactly.
What I would. It doesn't have to be an indie game. It really doesn't. It just has to be a game that I can say, this game, Elder Scrolls. I'm looking forward to Elder Scrolls 5. I cannot wait, because it looks different. It's Nordic, which is new. It's a whole new world. It's something awesome that I haven't experienced before in the Cyrodiil world. So I'm looking forward to that, because it's a whole different genre of the same universe. Where are those games? Where Uncharted is a perfect example. 1, 2, and 3. It's all about Drake. That's cool. I love the games. I really do. I think they're a lot of fun. But it's very repetitive. I played Uncharted 1. I know how Uncharted 2 works. I already know how Uncharted 3 works. There's no learning curve. There's nothing. Right. I sit down, it's the same game. I'm like, alright, cool. More levels. Boop, 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 boop. More puzzles. Boop, 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 bo and that's it. Where is the?
I just think your game really has a strange sound effect.
It does. It actually comes from my mouse. I have a Razer mouse, so it whenever time I click on it, it's like, boop, boop, boop. My Xbox controller does the same thing. It's awesome. So, but that's my argument. Is that I want a game that when I log into the new game, and I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of complaints too. You have a lot of gamers these days that if it's not exactly the same, Diablo. If it's not exactly the same as the game it was 10 years ago, they boycott it.
Yes.
And that sucks because
it
you have
does so much.
It does because you have a lot of gamers that are like, "Oh, Diablo 3 is nothing like Diablo 2." I'm sorry. The last person I'm playing Diablo 2 right now, and I played Diablo 3 hands on, and it is a beautiful upgrade. So everybody that complains about it's not as dark and gritty. Shut up. I'll tell you right now on this podcast, shut the fuck up. Because you have no idea what you're talking about. Because I'm playing Diablo 2, and it's the same. Compared to Diablo 3, it's bullshit.
Hey, Corey, the reason why it's not as gritty as Diablo 2 is because it actually has enough polygons.
Oh, hey! How about that? There's like a graphics engine in the back? Yeah! So, you know what? The next person that complains about Diablo 3 not being dark and gritty has obviously not played Diablo 2 within the past, I don't know, 5 years. So, go play Diablo 2 and then tell me Diablo 3 is not as good. But that's the thing, is that you have a lot of gamer base that is like, oh, if it's not like the first one, I don't want to play it. Well, you know what? Suck it up. You're not going to play it then. You need new. You need the next generation. Gaming is the next generation. We are now a media, and everybody needs to hop on that bandwagon. What's the next generation? And whatever it is, hop on it, because it's going to be popular, everybody's going to play it, and you're going to want to be a part of it. So that's how gaming works.
Unless it's WoW, then I want nothing to do with it.
Oh, WoW added pandas. Pandas. So, whatever,
fuck
Brian.
Fuck pandas.
And fucking Pokemon. What?
Hell yeah.
Fucking Pokemon.
I choose you, Pikachu.
That's right. My Mercablo is going to whoop your Diablo 3 ass.
I'm going to be the bad rebel that no one never was.
I want to record that. Hold on.
We are recording it. That's how this works.
That is now my ringtone. Done.
Nice.
Oh, God. Okay, I think that's the...
That's the cue.
I think that wraps up the whole all our thoughts right there.
Yeah, enough said. The Pokemon theme song pretty much wrapped it up, sung by Matt. That's amazing. It's awesome.
And that's now our theme song for the whole show.
How come that's not our song? I think we should open the next podcast with the Pokemon theme song.
Okay.
Just saying.
Oh, God. We're going to get sued.
Suck it, Nintendo.
I think George Lucas is going to sue somebody.
Oh, it's going to happen. Is Corey going to have to choke a bitch out? Is that what's going to
happen? Oh. Anyway.
All
right. So I think that does wrap it up for episode 90. I was thinking,
what do you do?
Well, the next podcast, I really shouldn't say anything because I've really not been very good about keeping us on track on that.
Honestly, here's what's going to happen. The next podcast, keep your guys' ear to agrigamer.com. If you can do that, you just got to push your face against the monitor and listen, because Agricast will come out after that. But Brian and I are going to do the Skycast. We're going to do a quick podcast probably on Friday or Saturday, based off of our experiences with Skyrim, yes, which we mentioned podcast. So we're gonna do a brief review. Normally we do a type out review and kind of like let you guys read. We're gonna do all the reading for you, and we're gonna actually promote it on a podcast. So listen up, listen to me and Brian complain about Skyrim or gush over Skyrim when it comes out, and hopefully you guys will stay tuned and listen to us. Be awesome. And then hopefully we got a podcast. I mean, this is number 90, right? This is like a birthday party. We got like 10 more episodes and we're at 100.
Yeah.
There's a milestone there. I'm going to make cake. Cake is a lie.
It's not a lie.
I wonder if we could get episode 100 coordinated with CES.
There's no
way. That'd be sick.
Come on. Do we have 10 weeks? We'll have to do the math. We'll do math, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We'll do math.
Yeah.
We'll
see it's too late to do math.
If not, we'll double up.
Not tonight. Yeah. But we'll see what we can do.
We have three. We have six podcasts scheduled to do during that 1 week.
But
it's fine.
It out.
Yeah.
We'll do CES, and not only will we do CES, we'll do Brian's birthday, and we will do a podcast, and we'll let you guys.
Dude, that day is gonna be bad.
And it's the best day for a podcast.
It's gonna be like E3. I'm yelling fuckers out the window.
No, it'll be epic because I'll be there. So.
Anyway.
And anybody has ever partied with me at BlizzCon or anywhere else, you know I like to party. So it will be epic.
He also likes men in rooms.
No.
When in the dark, drunk.
With scary video games. Jump into my lap.
Yeah.
Wait.
All right, but talking seriously, you can catch Matt at on Twitter, pwned, and all the on all the right places as OvertKill773. You can catch Corey on all those same places as MythicGriffin, all one word, and myself, of course, as Quiglin. Like Corey was saying, yes. No, not right. But stay tuned to aggregamer.com for more info about the Skycast as well as the next episode of at the Aggrocast. Make sure you leave your comments and suggestions down in the comments area. I just realized that was going to be repetitive.
Yep.
Yep. And other than that, stay classy.
That's right.
For Matt and Corey, I am out. Peace.
Peace.
It's real.